As I looked at the texts, the thing that came back to me, and as I think is fairly obvious to anyone who reads them, is that today we're talking about wisdom in some way or another. We have the introduction of Solomon and where his wisdom came from. I mean, wise as Solomon is a proverb or whatever you want, a proverbial saying at least, including people who don't have a clue who Solomon is. They don't know anything about the Bible, but you know, wise as Solomon, you hear it here and there. You run across movies like Solomon's Mines, where they refer to this incredibly wise and amazing king, which Solomon was. And the reason why Solomon was gives us a hint into what wisdom is. Wisdom is very easy to mistake something else for. And so wisdom, to begin with, is not cleverness and it's not intelligence. Wisdom isn't those obvious sorts of things that anybody can have. You can't go to school to become more wise, the same way you can go to school to become a better English person or a better scientist or anything else. And Solomon knew that. And so when God met Solomon and said, "So what would you like? What gift can I give you, if you will?" A tremendous responsibility, I would think, if God appeared and said, "I will give you whatever it is you ask." And Solomon, aware of his own limitations, at least at that moment, said, "You've given me this enormous group of people. I am not wise enough. I am not smart enough. I'm not clever enough to do what it is that they need. I need something else. I need wisdom. I need discernment. I need all of those things." And so God says, "Okay, if you would have asked for victory over your enemies and things, I would have given you those. But because you asked for wisdom, which is primarily something that is other-oriented, obviously wisdom applies to ourselves, but wisdom has an other orientation towards other people and other things and external circumstances. God says, because of this, you asked for such a good thing, I'm going to give you those other things too." This doesn't always come with wisdom. That was, I think, a one-off for Solomon. But it's important for us to realize that what Solomon was asking for was more than just the knowledge of things, because that's what wisdom is. It's beyond knowledge, which is tricky for people like me who live most of my life in my head. I've had a number of therapists who will stop me at this particular moment, one moment or another, and say, "This is just thinking. What are you feeling? What do you want? What do you remember?" Those sorts of things, trying to get me past the fact that thinking is all that matters, because it isn't all that matters. There's more to life than just intelligence and that sort of thing. And it's important to remember that wisdom doesn't bring perfection. On the basis of Scripture, we see that Solomon was the wisest person ever. He's referred to that way. He's referred to being the wisest person in various places in Scripture. Proverbially, he is. He shows up even in public culture like we have now. But he certainly wasn't perfect. And as we make our way through the books of Kings, we will see Solomon making mistakes, because wisdom doesn't bring with it an understanding of all things, but wisdom brings about an ability to discern things in a better way if you allow yourself to. For example, we move into the New Testament. We think of our gospel lesson. Wisdom is knowing the difference between a loaf of bread and a human being. Jesus is talking about eating this divine person, namely himself, that we might have eternal life. And as such, opened up people who follow Jesus to the charge of cannibalism for centuries. It is not true. That is not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is not being literal there any more than he's being literal in a number of other places in Scripture. What Jesus is saying is that we need to understand the difference between the two. He's making an analogy between the requirement of bread for life, which is something we don't we don't understand the same way that people then did, many of whom lived functionally on bread. That's what they ate. They didn't eat a lot of meat. There was very little meat in it. They ate some other vegetables, perhaps, but bread was it. Without bread, you died. Jesus is saying that the connection with God through Jesus is important for eternal life to the same extent that bread is for current life. And the wisdom that we can all have, wisdom isn't just a supernatural gift. We don't all have to receive it as Solomon did. Wisdom is something that is given to all of us in one degree or another. And wisdom is what allows us to look at the parables of Jesus, the words of Jesus in the Gospels, and discern the difference between a literal thing and a statement made to make a point, a parable. The parable of the lost sheep. We don't know if that was there a real shepherd? It doesn't matter. That's not the point of that. The point is that when the sheep was lost, the shepherd went to get the sheep. That's what's going on. Turning that into a literal story doesn't do anybody any good, doesn't make the story better, and misses the point. Living carefully, being wise, is what we get when we come out, when we go, flip over into Paul, or whoever wrote the book of Ephesians. As I said before, the book of Ephesians is a tricky one. It could have been written by Paul, might have been written by one of his followers. It doesn't matter. It's part of Scripture, part of our New Testament. And there we are called to live carefully, being wise. Because, and this is something interesting that I can't remember when I first noticed it, but it wasn't all that terribly long ago, that Paul says that when you live in a day that's filled with evil, wisdom is the answer. And today is every bit as evil as the days that Paul wrote about. There's just as many problems. They're different, of course, but there's still ongoing difficulties with how we live our lives. But the answer isn't more money, more education, less immigration, more immigration. It isn't any of those things. What Paul is saying is that the answer to living in evil days is to live a life of wisdom. And one of the things he talks about is don't try to get away from the world. I think that's what Paul's getting at when he talks about don't get drunk, don't change your state of mind to the point where you can ignore what's going on in the world. He said you need to live a life that is characterized by wisdom, and a life characterized by wisdom is also characterized by thankfulness. And so we pull these things together, and I admit they're a little disparate and they don't connect the same way I'd like some, or that I'd like them to, as they sometimes do in the lectionary. But what we see, at least what I think we see, is that wisdom is what gives you the chance to live a good life. It doesn't guarantee it. I wish it did. But it doesn't, because we live in a world that is filled with, well, as Paul says, we live in days that are evil. Bad things happen to people who don't deserve it, and all of those things. We are tempted to make the world go away by using intoxicants of any kind, whether it's, you know, whether it's getting drunk or whether it's shopping. It doesn't matter. Those things that we do to insulate ourselves from the world so we don't feel what's happening are not the mark of wisdom. Because wisdom never looks past what's wrong and pretends it's not there. Wisdom always looks at what's there, even if it's wrong, and says, what can I do to make a difference there? Wisdom is knowing that there are limits that we all have, and working within those limits, allowing for divine abilities to be granted to take us past those limits. We talked about spiritual gifts often, and that those sorts of things can help us get past that. But on the whole, living a life of wisdom leads us to live a life of thankfulness. And it's not so much that one causes the other, but I think you'll find that people who live thankful lives are often the kind of people you would put in the category of being wise. Because thankfulness comes from a sense of gratitude for whatever it is that we receive, not just what we might get or anything else. Thankfulness comes from looking at the day we have today, and to use the words of Richard Rohr, the day is as perfect as it can be, because this is the only day we have. And I can be grateful in this day. And by being grateful, what that does is it demonstrates that I've gone past this idea that I can control things and that everything I do matters in a particular way or whatever else I might be thinking as a person who just thinks. And instead, I can look at it from the perspective of wisdom. I can live carefully by being wise, which doesn't just mean running a return on investment spreadsheet on all of the things you do. Wisdom doesn't always mean that you do what the world thinks is the best thing to do. Often it doesn't. I was talking to a coworker about when we were in Winnipeg, and we were just talking about what it's like to, you know, be in a downtown area and the kinds of things that could happen. And when we were there, there was somebody who needed food, said he was hungry, didn't have anything to eat, and didn't have any money. And I said, well, I don't have any money either, because I don't carry cash, not because I don't want to give it away, I just don't carry cash. So I said, but can I buy you some food? There's a restaurant here, can we, whatever you like. And I look back on that, and my coworker was a little surprised, but said, well, yeah, that's a good thing to do, is to get somebody food who needs food. And I'm, thank you for agreeing with that. But looking back on it, it takes me out of this place of judgment over somebody. I have no idea why this man didn't have enough to eat. All I know is that he didn't, and I had the resources to do something about it. For me, wisdom takes me away from any kind of a, does he deserve this? Or any of that kind of thought. Wisdom talks about being Jesus to people in a way that actually matters, that they can feel. We didn't talk about religious things. I blessed him as I left, just because that's just what I do with lots of people. And so, in this rather scattery kind of sermon that we've just had, what it comes back to is that is the sermon title. So it's wisdom. It's wisdom that allows us to live a life that's worth living. It's wisdom that lets us make better decisions. And better doesn't mean more financially sensible necessarily. Better means making those decisions that draw us closer to the God that we know best through Jesus and experience through the Holy Spirit. And when we do those things, whether they make sense to anybody else or not, it's honestly irrelevant. Because what we're doing is we're doing the things that we are called to do. And that's another aspect of wisdom, is knowing that each of us have been called to do particular things that only we can do because we are in the context we're in. Nobody else can. Nobody else lives in my house except the people who live here. The things that this house does is unique to us. And when we look carefully at what it is that God wants us to be doing, that's when we're moving into this area of wisdom. Is it open to all of us? Yes. Do we all have some of it? Absolutely. Do some people have more than others? Of course. And sometimes we get special wisdom as a gift from the Holy Spirit. But all of us have been given the ability to live lives that are wise. Paul tells us, live carefully, live a wise life, not a foolish one. And Paul, for all of his occasional extravagances of language, never asks us to do what we can't any more than God does. We can live lives of wisdom. And if we need more wisdom, we can always ask. Will we become as wise as Solomon? Probably not. But will we be answered by the same God who gave Solomon that wisdom? Yes, we most certainly will. Amen.